tonight. I'd like you and me to think about, choose a few questions. Why? And why did the Lord? There are three things that we will think together tonight. I'd like to read in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Here's the word of God. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. It's a story by Pat Cook, recounting a Jewish lady. Her name is Mrs. Rosenberg, who many years ago was stranded late one night at a fashionable resort, one that did not admit Jews. The desk clerk looked down at his book and said, "Sorry, there's no room. The hotel is full." And the Jewish lady said, "But your sign says that you have vacancy." "I saw that sign last night." And the desk clerk stammered and then said curtly, "You know that we do not admit Jews. Now, if you will try the other side of town, maybe?" Miss Rosenberg stiffened noticeable and said, "I'll have you know, I converted to your religion. I'm no longer Jewish. I'm a Christian now." And the desk clerk said, "Oh, yeah. Let me give you a little test. How was Jesus born? You know?" Miss Rosenberg replied, "He was born to a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem." "Very good," replied the hotel clerk. "Tell me more." Miss Rosenberg replied, "He was born in a manger." "That's right," said the hotel clerk. "And why was he born in a manger?" Miss Rosenberg said loudly, "Because a jerk like you in the hotel wouldn't give a Jewish lady a room for the night." Dear congregation, why is what the major? You and I, let's examine three questions. Why? The first why is, why was Augusta in that time sincere? Caesar Augustus issued a decree, and the question is, why at this time of Caesar Augustus? If we travel back in time about 606 years before Jesus was born, at that time the world was under the domination of the Babylon Empire, and the emperor was Nebuchadnezzar. In that, you know, chapter 2, we learned the dream of a king, and its meaning was explained by Daniel. The current empire was a Babylon empire. His dream was about a statue. When he saw the statue, then he saw many things that happened to the statue, and in the next day, he forgot about his dream. So he was very anxious, with worry. So he called all of his servants and said, You have to tell me last night what I dream about. How could anybody answer that question? And then none of the astrologers, so they want to beheaded everybody because they couldn't answer the dream of King Daniel. Was given, chosen by God. He's a young person from Judea, and then he was captured as captive into the Babylonian in about 602 years, and along with many other captives from the land of Israel. But God gave wisdom to Daniel, and Daniel was lifted up to be an officer in the royal court. And so when he heard about the king wanted to behead every of his servants, Daniel was surprised. He was asking why. And then the officer said, the king was dreaming and asked somebody, anybody can explain the dream that he forget about. And Daniel said, please be calm. That night, Daniel went and prayed to the Lord. In that night, God revealed to Daniel the dream of the king that Nebuchadnezzar had denied. And the next day, Daniel appeared before the king. Dear king, last night you saw a statue. And this statue has the head of gold with the chest and the arms by silver. And the belly and the thighs of bronze, and the two legs by iron, and then the feet are made of iron and clay. And when the king saw this dream, God wants to let you know that your empire with the Babylon Empire is made of the head of gold, but there will be another empire following. That is another empire represent the chest and the arms. And after that second one, the third empire. And that was a empire represented by the belly and the thigh of front. And after that, another empire rises up. And just like the two of made of feet made of iron. And finally, at the very end, there was a large rock coming down and hit the statue, and that statue hit the feet and caused the statue to be broken in pieces. The reason Nebuchadnezzar was afraid was that why did the dream happen to Nebuchadnezzar? You, king, you will be a head of gold, but someday another empire will defeat it, the Babylon Empire. And it became like just like a chest and the two arms of silver. And then the four empires, there will be a big rock from heaven come and destroy this statue. And that group, all the empires that was rising up will eventually be destroyed. Dear congregation. And that did happen according to the prophecy of Daniel. So Nebuchadnezzar was surprised of the God of Daniel, and he prays, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings. Babylon Empire, after many years, finally and came to the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, that is King Belshazzar. In that time, Daniel was also presented another dream, and he saw many beasts, the four beasts, and each beast has a different character, very fierce, that he couldn't understand. The first, in Daniel chapter 4, 7 verse 4, the first was like a lion, and this lion has the wings of an eagle. And in the time he watched, and the wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, and it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of human was given to, and Daniel didn't understand that kind of a dream. How could a lion could be taken off a mind of human? After that, there was before me a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up of one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. It was given a strong strength. There is something told him, get up and eat your fill of flesh. And Daniel could not understand what that was talking about. And then the next dream, after that, he looked, and therefore he was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. And this beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. And it was a very great dream. And after that, in his vision, Daniel at night looked, therefore he was a 4th beast. It was terrifying and frightening and very powerful beast. It had a large iron teeth. It can crush and devour its victim and trample underfoot whatever was left. It was a different from the former beast, and Daniel could not understand. And afterward, the 4th beast, there is a 10 horns. And the 11th horn came up from the head of the 4th beast. And there was an eye on the beast. And so very talking about arrogance out of his mouth in the 4th beast. Daniel did not understand. What would that mean? How did Daniel have a dream like that? And afterward, and finally, he saw of someone sitting on the throne, and the creator in the throne, and the clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was cleaving, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. And then there was someone like a human, and that was led to the creator, and the creator gave the authority to that person and saying, your authority will be everlasting and your kingdom will never end. And after the dream, Daniel woke up. He didn't understand what was going on. Why the dream? The congregation, the history of the world has occurred according to what God has revealed to Daniel. And it's also according to what Daniel had dreamed about the beast. Babylon was raised up by God, and it's recorded in Daniel chapter 5. Another empire had risen, that of Medes, together with King of Persia, united against the Babylon Empire. And the new empire is the Persian Empire. Daniel has spent 2 imperial period. And we saw the statue on the slide, and along with the image of the beast that Dan had dreamed. Here, God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream and the event of the history about to occur from the time of Daniel. There will be 4 empires rising up. The first is the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar. And Babylon was formed in about 606 BC until 538 BC. Then afterwards, the Persian Empire from Medes and the Persian Empire. And that emperor of Persia destroyed the empire of Babylon from 538 BC. The Persian Empire rose up until 331 BC. After the Persian Empire, and there was another one, and that is Alexander the Great. He represented the Greek Empire that had destroyed the Persian Empire. And Alexander the Great, who has a very good skill about the leading the army from 331 BC and until 227, he conquered the whole world only after 3 years. And he sit down with Frank. Why is this world so small? And so it's like a leopard here. Alexander the Great was a leopard in the dream of Daniel. And the Greek Empire from 331 BC until 63 BC. And then there's another beast coming up. And that is the Roman Empire from 600 BC has conquered this world. Then, dear congregation, the Roman Empire has divided into two powerful factions, just like the two sides. One was the West Roman Empire, reigned from 27 BC until 476 AD. And another is the East Roman Empire from 67 AD until 1453 AD. God has chosen to execute his plan at the time of the Roman Empire. The punishment at the end of the dream that was seen by Nebuchadnezzar has occurred. When God, Caesar Augustus, was chosen this time, at that time, our Christ came into the world. The beginning of a new era of faith that we call this era the gospel era, which means the faith of whoever put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord has become a great mountain of the world. Though his followers were terribly persecuted by the Roman emperors, by the Muslims, by the political powers such as communism and fascism, but Christianity still remains as a great mountain of the world. The fact that God entered the human race is not a fairy tale that we have come to know, which usually began long, long time ago without any type of definitive time reference to any historic event. No, it's not a fairy tale. The fact of Jesus' birth is a true story. That actually, it actually did happen in our history. And that event divided the history in time in two. And we call that event Anno Domini, or AD. The historian Luke recorded the details of this history, anchored it to the event of census. In Luke 2, 1 and 2, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken. This is a time when Quirinius was governor of Syria. That was the first census. Who was Augustus? He was not one establishing the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was started by Julius Caesar, Crassus Caesar, and Pompey from about 100 years before the time of Augustus. But Augustus was the one who was first to call himself an emperor. And he reigned from 27 BC to 14 AD. He was the first one to call himself an emperor. And during this time, he established Quirinius as the governor of Syria. When Augustus conquered the land of Israel, He set up a king that does not belong to the house of David. And that one king is King Herod. Herod called himself as a great king. Herod knew that he did not belong to the house of David. So none of the Jews wanted Herod to be their king. To appease the Jews, Augustus and Herod allowed to restore the temple in Jerusalem to be restored. And it took 46 years to restore that temple. And because of that, the Jews were very pleased. And this made them proud and accepted Herod as a great king. Jesus is God in human form to bring the world back to the Creator God using the gospel of the Savior. From then, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ was then spread all over the world. From 300 years AD, when Constantine became a Christian, he saw a sign and he became a Christian. And Christianity, at that time known as Catholicism, a universal religion, and that became a national religion of the Roman Empire. And it was known as the Holy Roman Empire. That means all the Caesars united together with the Pope to reign over the Roman Empire. That unification of power gradually led the believers away from the Word of God. And in the 15th century, the time of Reformation, many church leaders has risen to reform the church to return the Word of God, the Bible. Beginning of the 19th century, in the year 1806, Napoleon of France, the one who destroyed the Holy Roman Empire and took away the power that dominated the world. And because of that achievement, France was later known as the Daughter of God. From Augustus' time, the Roman Empire has a census, not every year, once a year, every 14 years has a census. The census, with the purpose of taxation and military draft, drafting the young men into the Roman military. The Jews were exempted from being drafted. So only taxation was the main focus of the Roman Empire. Under the reign of Augustus, the language of the world was Greek. Just like right now, we use English as a common language of the world. And under Augustus, there was a transportation by sea was with boat with sail or powered by human rowers. And also under Augustus, all the roads were built using a stone underneath to allow easy transportation from one country to another. And because of this construction project by the Roman Empire, and we often put the phrase that all roads lead to Rome. Dear congregation, he saw that God providence all over the events of history. Everything seemed like a preparation for the spreading of the gospel at that time, for the new world. And so God entered into human history through a form of a baby born in the manger. Clearly, God had planned and chose a time according to his goodwill to allow Jesus to be born at that time. The second why is, why Bethlehem? According to the scripture we read, Joseph from Nazareth, along with Mary, came to Judea, the house of line of David, and to register Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Dear congregation, Augustus, everybody must return to their town of birth. And Joseph has come to the city of David to register the name and Mary for the census. Though Joseph was living in Nazareth, the north, but his birth was in Bethlehem, belonging to Judea. We did not know much about the town of Mary, but Mary has been fast to Joseph at that time. Though they have not come together, they only pledged as a fiancé, and because of that, Mary followed Joseph to Bethlehem for the census. Many people returned to Bethlehem at that time because of the census. With such a crowd, finding a room was already very hard, not to mention a young lady about to give birth. It is even more challenging. And so, very, have a hard time. How could a God who can control all situations of the world control the rise and fall of kings of all the countries of the world? And yet, God could not have governed the giving birth of his own son by the Virgin Mary. Why not delay the birth by a few days? Why now, during this crowded town? It seemed very inconvenient to Joseph and Mary. Well, we look at the weather to build a house. We find a good day to get married. But in this world, which lady is pregnant to give birth is something that we could not say. And so we could not predict ahead of time when a child would come. But we saw that how God has planned for all these events to come together. We know that God had providence over the events of the first Christmas. God used the decree of Augustus about the census, along with the pledge of Mary to Joseph to be his wife. And then Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and the moment of giving birth to Jesus was near. And now the providence of God was fulfilled. A prophecy was under the providence. Why? Because all of those events must occur to fulfill a prophecy by the prophet Micah 700 years before. 700 years. It was recorded by Micah like this. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Oh, so wonderful. God gave Micah a revelation, a prophecy about where the Messiah will be born. And it's from ancient times. And I think that the census, maybe the event of registration like that may take only a few hours. And the giving birth to a baby may only taking a few days, and then the mother can get up and move around. So they can plan a more careful to give birth. But we see that none of these events were guided. How could these events fulfill the prophecy that had been foretold 700 years before the congregation? If the giving birth of Mary did not occur in Bethlehem at that time, we are certain that after they register, they would leave town. They would go back to Nazareth, for example. Or we could come to go back home, or they can spend a few nights in Jerusalem to find a room to stay, preparing for the birth of their baby. But praise be to God. God fulfilled His promise, the providence that God chose Bethlehem. God had chosen a place to enter into this world. He chose Bethlehem. He had a plan, a place to bring Jesus into the world. He chose a time to enter into our world under Caesar Augustus. He chosen a place, and that place is Bethlehem. Before we continue with the third question, why the manger? We will now listen to a Christmas song with the title, The Message of the Christmas Night. Jesus was born in a humble place, a lonely place, a dirty place, to cause the soul who was feeling lonely to become joyful, to cause a suffering heart to receive glad tidings. Now we are examining the third why. Why the manger? God chose the time. God chose the place to enter this world. But did God plan for the manger or not? Dear congregation, the answer, no. In the scripture, there was no prophecy about the Christmas child is to be born in the manger. So why did God have chosen the manger to enter into this world? The answer is in our key verse. She gave birth to a son. She wrapped him in the clothes and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them. There's only one reason. God accepted into this world, the world that He created by His hand, but this world did not recognize Him. God has come into His chosen people, the Israelites, but that chosen people did not recognize Him. The manger. And manger was used for God. And God accepted that offer from us. Why? Because God humbled Himself under the world. His meekness among the world who are arrogant. And there's a pastor talking about a story. And in the Christmas, we give gifts to each other because God has given His only Son to us. And in this Christmas, this little child gave a very beautiful shell. And the teacher asked her, "Where did you ever find the extraordinary shell? I've never seen anything like it." The boy explained that such shells were only found in a certain bay that was several miles away. The teacher was astounded, knowing that the boy had to walk that entire distance to bring the shell to her. And she said, "This is a wonderful gift, but you shouldn't have walked all the way just to get a gift for me. So dangerous." The boy gave a big smile and exclaimed, "A long walk is part of the gift." That was true of the gift God gave to us, all to us, when He sent His Son into the earth. God came from heaven to a manger, and from a manger to a cross, and from the cross to the grave, and from the grave back to heaven. We could ask, Why go through all this trouble for us? God would answer like this. Long walk part of the gift. Why did God accept the manger to be a place of birth? The first thing is that the manger represents something shameful. God accepted the shamefulness of a smelly manger because he would to carry the shamefulness of the world upon the cross, suffering to save the sin of the world 33 years later. If our Lord did not accept the manger, he would not accept the way of the cross. God has died on the cross for us. Jesus said in John 18, no one takes it from me, Jesus said, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. God used the cruel punishment of the cross instituted by the Romans. God used the Jews to condemn Jesus, but need to remember that the death sentence was a judgment from God. Whom did God give this death sentence? All the people of the world. All the world must be sentenced to death because of their sins, turning away from God. This is the death sentence of the world, must receive. But instead of killing every single person in the world that God created out of his love for the world, God killed his only begotten son. Jesus must suffer bodily so that we humans can gain life spiritually. Jesus chose a manger on earth so that we may step into the kingdom of God. Jesus must be nailed on the cross so that we may be saved. He suffered his shame so that we can be glorified. He paid the ultimate price so that we can be blessed. He became poor so that we can become rich. Jesus must die so that we may have life everlasting. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What God has brought to us is not something that anybody can receive, but that gift is given to the world, but only whoever trusts in the Lord can receive that gift. The shameful gift that the Son of God must receive. The second part is that the manger is a symbol of glory. The manger is a place to store food for the flock, very smelly and dirty. But God placed his son there. The manger became something that had been used for decoration at home, at churches, in public square every Christmas season. The Vietnamese Americans may love President Trump. But I don't believe that if President Trump has a newborn son and put him in a basket or a container, would the supporter go out and find a basket to decorate their homes? Not a chance. None. But the manger where our Lord was born is something entirely different. We can support the President Trump by buying a hat or wearing something red, but our Lord is not the one, it's the supporter. We wear red because red about representing the blood of Christ. The cross, the punishment by the cross is a cruel punishment imported by the Romans from the North Africa. This punishment was only used for the people of the countries dominated by the Roman Empire and not for its own citizens. as the Son of God, put himself under that punishment. That symbol of the cross has become a symbol of love. The cross also became a symbol of love that represented by medical charity. It became a beloved decoration for women and also heroes. We saw that whatever place taken up by our Lord Jesus, that place became well respected and lifted our high. What if the Lord Jesus come and dwell in the heart of a believer? God will give that person the right to become a child of God. God changed that person from a sinful person to become a saint. God will make a heart of loneliness and desperation to become a full of joy. A weak person become a man of holiness. A hopeless soul become hopeful. A meaningless life become purposeful. The Lord Jesus will give eternal value to whoever invited Jesus into their heart. The manger is a meeting place between man and God. It's a place of meeting. God used the lowly manger as a meeting place for those seeking God. In Luke, in Titus, from 7:20, has recounted an exciting story about the meeting of the shepherds and the field in Judea with the Son of God taking on the form of a baby boy wrapped in linen cloth lying in a manger. And the angel said to them, I want to tell you a good news. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and dying in the manger. This is so wonderful. The meeting place between man and God was not a city of Jerusalem, not even a royal palace in King Herod, but God chose the manger that we had reserved for the Son of God to be born there. It is a meeting place for whoever seeking salvation with a simple heart. After the shepherds left the flock of sheep in the field to go to the city of David, and there they met a baby boy wrapped in the linen cloth lying in the manger. The meeting may not last long, but they returned home. By the scripture said, they returned home with a joyful heart, praising God on their way home for what they have seen and heard. The lonely lives of desperation has now experienced this incredible joy. Those unfortunate lives have now experienced the kind of happiness that many do not have. What has changed them? The reason is that the baby lying in that manger has now filled their heart. In their eyes, the child was not just simply a baby, but a Savior, the Creator of heaven and earth, lying in the manger. We have to celebrate Christmas. You have come to be part of the Christmas service, but have you truly met the baby Jesus, the Savior of the world? Then there's a story about a young person received a gift from his brother. On the Christmas Eve, this young man named Paul, and Paul came out of his office and drove this sport car, and the young boy was looking up and said he admired this car, this sport car of Paul. And then he saw Paul coming out. He said, is this your car, mister? And the Paul said, yes, my brother gave it to me for Christmas. And the little boy said, you mean your brother gave it to you and didn't cost you nothing? And Paul nodded. The little boy said, boy, I wish. And he didn't finish the sentence, and Paul thought he knew what the little boy was wishing, that he had a brother like that too. But this boy surprised Paul. I wish, the boy went on, I could be a brother like that. Paul looked at the boy in amazement that he had. Would you like to have a ride in my new car? And the boy said, oh, yes, yes, I love that. After a short ride, and the little boy turned to Paul and asked, mister, would you mind driving in front of my house? Can you drive up to my house a little bit closer? And Paul smiled because he thought he knew why the little boy wanted to drive in front of his house. He wanted to show his neighbors he could come home in this big, beautiful car. Will you stop where those two steps are? Asked the little boy as they drove up to his house. He ran up the steps and into the house. In a little while, Paul saw him coming back. He was carrying his little brother, who was crippled with polio. He set him down in the bottom step and scooted up against him. He pointed to the car. There she is, buddy, just like I told you upstairs. Ain't she beautiful? His brother gave it to him for Christmas and didn't cost him nothing. You know that, buddy? Someday I'm going to give you one just like it. Then you can see all the Christmas things in the window I've been telling you about. The beautiful sight on the car like that. And now, Paul got out. Those things touches Paul's heart. And Paul got out and walked over to the boy. Do you want to ride around and see those things right now? The boy nodded eagerly with bright faces. Paul leaned over and lifted the lad up to the front seat of the car. The shining eye, older brother climbed in beside him, and the three of them began a memorable holiday ride. Dear congregation, this story gave us that the true richness is not to receive, but to give. A true happiness is not to live for ourselves, but live for others. God loved the world and gave his son. We love our neighbors. What we will give to our neighbors. May we think and see the meaning of Christmas. God, because of us, came into the world. Because our Lord did not born in a rich place. He did not come with a royal ceremony. He was born in a lonely manger, with hay as his pillow, in the lonely town called Bethlehem. Hurry now, come all ye faithful. Let's kneel before the holy manger. Jesus has promised to give us new life of his peace. Let's be of one heart to praise God. To conclude tonight's celebration with a song titled At the Manger.